Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 93 on November 3rd, 2014. So, okay, did you catch that date, November 3rd, 2014? If you are listening to this podcast and it is still November 3rd, you better get your ass out there and vote tomorrow. If you are listening to this podcast and it's November 4th, you better get your ass out there and vote today. Because here's the deal about voting. If you don't vote, you can't complain. You can't whine about how badly the country is being handled or why we're at war or why our government is making the decisions that they are. You can't whine about how things should be different, because if you don't vote and express your opinion, you have absolutely no right to whine and complain. So when people start talking to me about politics and things they're unhappy with, one of the first things I do ask them is, did you vote? And if they even waver for a moment and go, well, no, then I will actually sometimes hold up my hand in their face and walk away and said, I don't want to hear a word about it then. And then I won't talk politics with that person. So there you go. If you know me, that's my rules. The point is, get your asses out there and vote. This is one of the most important elections in a long time. And I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but I think you can probably guess which way I lean. Either I lean away from a man's ass or towards it. Pretty much most of the time I lean towards it. Just so you know, I thought I'd kind of blow my cover there and let you all know which way I am inclined. All right, let's talk about a way cool thing that happened since the last time I did a podcast. Kinkly, like kink with an L-Y on the end, .com, named me as one of their top 100 sex blogging superheroes of 2014. This is indeed a huge honor, because if you take a look down that list, it's quite humbling to see the amazing, amazing people on it. So to be in such good company really is an honor. This is the second year in a row, so kinkly.com, thank you very, very much for the honor 2 years in a row. I am very, very happy to be on your list, and I'll tell you, everybody, listeners, go to that list. There's a link on my blog for you to click through, and or you can just put in kinkly.com and take a look at those blogs. The people on that list are absolutely amazing. Oh my gosh, they are totally amazing. Who knows, you might find a couple of new podcasts to listen to as well. But there's a wealth of information, entertainment, there's sexy stories, there's sex education, there's opinions, there's exposés, there's toy reviews. I could go on and on. You want to read about sex, you have 100 different places to read about it. So I do challenge you to explore them, because here's the deal, people. It's like, okay, if you're reading their blog and you're listening to their podcast, you're not going to be listening to mine. That's not the way I think about it. That's really kind of an attitude of lack, and I'm not going to go there. Here's what I think. We will all benefit from there being more sex-positive attitudes in the world, and I believe each and every one of these 100 people gives their part and gives of their time and makes a difference towards an attitude of more sex-positive nature in our society. So read them, listen to them, spread the word, tell your friends and your favorite ones, post it up on your Facebook page, unless it's, you know, the one that exposes your kink that you're trying to hide from everybody, like mine. And if you're not trying to hide it, well then, hey, put it up on your Facebook page and let all your friends know that this is a cool thing. But truly, there's so much information there, especially the toy review people that keep us on track in terms of the toys that are really made well, the safe toys, the ones that aren't safe, and the ones that are non-toxic. They do so much work towards trying to educate people and making sure that your toys are safe and body safe and non-toxic and all that kind of stuff. So in short, there is a wealth of sexy information here, and you guys should go check it out. And kinkly.com, thank you once again. Very honored. Next piece of news. I was interviewed. This was so fun. So this guy posts in one of the groups that I'm on FetLife, that he's looking for a dominant woman to interview. And somebody got on there and said, well, okay, you might want to, you know, put a link to your podcast and show people sort of what you're about. And so he did, and I went and took a look at it, and I wrote him a note that said, as long as you are not trying to portray dominant women in a negative way, then I'm happy to do the interview. So, bless his heart, he took a lot of trouble. We went back and forth for some time, Jason and I, and we, because I'm a little bit hard to pin down, and I was a really busy period of my life, so we finally got it together. And he and Dave did an interview with me that was really a lot of fun. When I asked Jason about what kind of a podcast that they do, he said that it was mostly them just talking about what they're passionate about and what their interests are. And they'd kind of work through a bunch of those, and now they were interested in what other people were passionate about. So what he was really wanting me to do is give them a bit of a BDSM 101. And I did my best. I think there's people that have been in the lifestyle longer than me that could have perhaps phrased it better. But wow, what a fun time we had. For over an hour, we talked about things, and they had some of the best questions, and I really enjoyed myself. So I'm not only going to have a link to that podcast of theirs, but I am going to have a link to their Facebook page. So check them out. I've listened to most of the podcasts that they did with me. Like I said, I'm a busy person. Oh, it's crazy. But I've looked at some of the titles of the other stuff that they've talked about, and I think they have a good thing going there. So check their podcast out as well. And they've talked about having me back to answer some questions that they've got from some of their listeners, as well as to do a thing on toxic toys. So maybe we'll do that sometime in the future. It was a really, really fun interview. I have to say, they're engaging and intelligent and funny, and I really enjoyed myself. I don't know this for sure, but I suspect that the podcast that they did with me was the first one to delve into sexual territory. So I'm honored, guys. I had a good time. Okay, let's see. And from there, this is a comment that I got on my blog, and it was actually on the article, What Do Women Love About Pegging? So this guy left this comment, and we went back and forth a couple of times, so I'm going to read you the progression of it, because I think it's just a very cool story. So, okay, here's his first comment. Okay, I have a question on this that I will get to, but a little background. I'm a kinky boy, and I've had a secret fetish of wearing women's panties, dresses, and stockings, too. My girlfriend found out, and at first she freaked out when she found my stash of panties and thought I was a freak. However, she researched it and came around to realize it wasn't that bad, and she asked me to put on a pair of hers. So, of course, I did. And now I only wear her panties, and she's actually enjoyed dressing me up in some of her outfits, too. When I first put on her panties, she asked me if she could do something to me, and said if it was uncomfortable, she would stop. Anyways, she pulled the panties to the side and started to put her finger up my ass while giving me a blowjob. And that was my first experience with that, and it was pretty amazing. Recently, she asked me if she could try something else, and given how much I liked the previous experience, I said yes. So she surprised me by using a small vibrator on me while giving me a blowjob again, and that was amazing. She is a fairly conservative woman, but given how understanding and exploratory she was, I wonder if she would be open to using a strap-on on me. She's made derogatory comments about them before, previous to all of this, so that's why I'm hesitant to ask. I also wonder if she may say something to the effect of she's not a lesbian, or may think it's weird, but given recent history, maybe my fears are unfounded? I have read that many women like the feeling of control doing this gives them. So this is where my other question comes in. She was in a really bad and abusive relationship prior to this, so I was wondering if pegging me could also provide some psychological benefit to her being in the position of control. I guess in a nutshell, I'm curious if any women have benefited mentally/emotionally from pegging a current boyfriend/husband that were in an abusive relationship prior. Thanks. Okay, so this is what I responded. Lots of questions here. The loaded question being, I'm curious if any woman were in a prior abusive relationship have benefited from mentally, emotionally, have benefited mentally or emotionally from pegging a boyfriend or husband. Okay, that's a great question. And I will ask this on the podcast to get more responses. As long as the being in control aspect offers a feeling of safety as opposed to general revenge/retribution, I suppose that could be possible and healthy. As far as whether she is ready for a strap-on, you can always send her here to the Frequently Asked Questions page and tell her the idea of it turns you on. You already have a foot and a half in the door with her using fingers and handheld toys on you. But know that there are women who will do what your girlfriend is doing but want nothing to do with a strap-on. It just kind of freaks them out. And her using a nice dildo on your ass with her hand would be far, far better than nothing. Yay about her accepting the panties. That's sweet. So he wrote back, "Thanks for your response, and I agree, and that's kind of what I meant, that it would possibly be beneficial for her not only sexually, but also from a control standpoint. I'd be really curious to know what responses you get from other women who have been in a relationship like that and have pegged their partner. We had a discussion last week about boundaries, and I told her again how much I liked what she had done to me in the past couple of occasions, but I didn't have the courage to bring up pegging. But maybe it's time to give that conversation a shot. She did say she just wants to know what all I am into, so maybe I'll ask her if she has any secret fantasies and see if she brings it up. I think both of our minds have opened up a bit to other possibilities in the past few months, but my fear still exists that she may think, because I think I would enjoy this, that she will think I'm weird or gay or something, when nothing is further from the truth. Thanks again for your help." So then I wrote a brief note back. "Personally, I think you should just come right out and ask her. You two are practically there already. But do your best not to present it with embarrassment or fear. Be excited." So here I'm going to stop for a moment and do a few comments on things, because one of the things that I would love for any listeners who are out there to write in and talk about is if there are any women who have found themselves getting into pegging who have abusive relationships in the past and how those two interacted. Very curious to hear information about that, and would love it if you would write in or call in on my number, and that's 805-500-6544. The psychological part of that fascinates me. And again, not really interested in the whole revenge retribution thing, because I don't think that that's an appropriate way to indulge in pegging ever, because it's not something that should be done in a way that could potentially hurt someone or with the intention of hurting them. But I'm wondering if the control part of it would facilitate a feeling of safety and be a way cool thing to experience in light of the past experiences of abuse. So yeah, anybody with that experience, write on in and let me know. And the other thing I wanted to say about this is just... I mean, how much closer can you get? You know, she's putting a toy up your ass and playing with your ass and totally accepted the panties and everything. And I know the panties is separate from doing the pegging, but this kind of made me chuckle here. That's why I just briefly responded, you know, dude, go for it. So what we have to announce now is, of course, and you all could probably see this coming, pegging celebration time. And here's what he wrote. "Well, I should have listened to you initially and just asked her, but it all worked out. We were doing our usual messing around this past weekend, and she pulled out the vibrator again and asked if she could use it on me, and of course I said yes. To put it short, she went to town on me. Great experience yet again, and I noticed how wet she was from using that on me and giving me a blowjob. As I was working up the courage to ask her about using a strap-on on me, she said, 'I think I'd really love to just have a strap-on and just fuck you in the ass.' At first I wasn't sure I heard her correctly, and I said, 'Really, you'd like to do that?' She said yes, that it turned her on, that I let her take control and basically do what she wanted. I then said we should go to the toy store and pick one out, and she was all over it. We probably spent an hour there looking at the various ones, And the first one we picked out was way too big, so we settled on one that it was about the same length as the 9-inch vibrator she had been using on me, but a little more girth. Okay, I'm going to pause for a moment in this letter and say that 9 inches is a fucking big vibrator to start with, but okay, I'm going to keep reading. Anyways, once we got home, we loaded up the batteries, and it was a bit awkward as I helped her adjust the straps. And she was a bit embarrassed, since at first we tried it with me on my back facing her. We then decided it might be easier if I was on my tummy, so we switched it up. I could tell she was excited, because she grabbed the lube and proceeded to give my ass a nice coating, and then coated the strap-on vibrator, too. She was very gentle and kept asking me if it was okay. And it was, at first. But I could tell she was excited, and she started to thrust a bit, and got a bit too rambunctious, pun intended, and it hurt a bit. It gave me a whole new respect for those times where I had done this to a past girlfriend, and she said, ouch. She was a little worried after that, and I reassured her it was okay. Just go really slow and put some more lubrication on it. She was very gentle, but I could tell she was turned on, too, with her breasts against my back, giving slow little thrusts to slowly enter me. The girth on this vibrator was probably a good 2¾ inches, so it took about 3 to 4 minutes of her slow thrusts and grinding it around a bit to get it in. And at that point, I could hear her breathing heavy in my ear. Okay, I'm going to pause again. Sometimes when you all write in, I never know whether you're talking about diameter or circumference, because, again, 2¾ inches diameter is incredibly big, so I'm going to think that maybe it was circumference. I'm not really sure. Literally, 9 inches long and 2¾ inches in diameter is insanely big for a first time, so I'm thinking that's probably circumference, but I'm going to continue reading here. I was able to reach around and grab her ass and pull her the rest of the way into me, and she moaned, saying that the vibrations and the thought of what she was doing to me was about to make her come. She then started to slowly thrust and grind into me, and I could tell she was close to having an orgasm. I was too, but laying on my stomach, she couldn't reach me, so I pushed back a little bit and started grinding on her, and she reached under me and started to stroke me, while slowly sliding in and out. When I told her to fuck me, she really started to go to town, and her heavy breathing told me she was having an orgasm, and I wasn't even touching her. Just knowing she was getting off on it made me lose it, too, and we just sat there for a bit afterwards with her lying on my back still inside me. Afterwards, she kept asking me if I was okay, and I said, of course, it felt great for me. This morning, she mentioned again how much she enjoyed it and said she wants to do it again. Of course, I said, hell yes. She said how she also wants to get a double-ended dildo for us to use together, too, so it couldn't be better. I'd have to say it did live up to and past my expectations, even though it was a bit awkward for both of us at first, but I'm really looking forward to her doing it again. But I hope we can do it missionary style so I can touch her and she can touch me easier. Long story short, Ruby, you were right. I should have just asked, but it's all good. I did ask her after she pegged me how long she had been wanting to do this, and she said a few months. I confessed that I had been wanting to do this for a long time, so we made a deal, that if there is anything either of us want, just ask. I think this proves that communication and saying what you want is key. Since she was into using the vibrator on me before, I should have just asked. It's all good now, though, and thanks for all your thoughts and help, Ruby and others. And he signs it T. With a parenthesis, it said, lost his pegging cherry, finally. Congratulations to you, too. I'm so glad that you had a really nice, it sounds like a very nice first experience. And the awkwardness, that's going to stick around for a while. Remember, I keep talking over and over about how the learning curve for learning how to fuck somebody is really steep. It takes a while to get good at it. So have patience about that. And missionary, depending on how your body lengths match up and the different parts of your bodies, can be a very difficult position. I highly recommend putting some pillows underneath her ass. Excuse me, your ass. What am I thinking? Pillows underneath your ass. Or If you've got some bucks to spend, you can get the Liberator wedge, and the wedge ramp combo is actually a very, very comfortable and amazing piece of little foam-ish kind of furniture, really high quality stuff, with zippable covers that come off to wash them and everything. And that will get you exactly in the right position so that that missionary position is a lot easier for her. I'm going to put the links for that in the Linkorama as well, so you can take a look at that. But how fun! You know, I love also so much how it finally came down to you guys making a deal that if there is anything either of you want, just ask. Because yes, think about it. You could have been doing this for months. In fact, you could have been doing this maybe before that. Because, okay, for a couple of months, she'd been thinking about it. And then you'd been thinking about it for a lot longer. So way back when, you know, you could have asked her then, and chances are quite good she would have said absolutely. So yeah, communication, like we always say. And I'm still really kind of wondering what kind of equipment that you got. I'm very much wondering that. Maybe you could take a photo and send it in, or maybe you could send me the specs on it and measure it, because anybody who's taken something 9 inches long and 2 3/4 inches in diameter for to lose their pegging cherry is like in a porn movie and it's not real. So send me the measurements so that I can sleep in peace tonight, sir. But once again, congratulations to you, too. I'm really happy for you. Okay, what else do we have here? Oh, I have a correction. There was a comment that I read last time on my podcast, and I accidentally attributed it to either convincing her to try it or convincing him to try it. And that was incorrect. This man wrote in, and actually the comments he was making were to the article, "I Need a Woman to Peg Me." So he wrote in, and here's what he wrote. Well, actually, I made a comment saying, I'm going to read a bit of this on my podcast. So to give you some context here, here's how his reply starts. "A bit of this? Hell's bells, you read the whole thing. My comment was left on the I Need a Woman to Peg Me article on your Pegging 101 site, and I think it sounds just a teeny bit less crazy when the reader can refer to the headings that I referenced in that article of yours. I never expected that the comment would be read out in the podcast, and I feel that at least one of the points I was trying to make may not have come through as I wanted it to. Ladies, please try and understand that for a percentage of us who are burdened with a single X chromosome, the knowledge that you peg is an extremely high factor of attraction. If it didn't feel so damn good, we wouldn't give a rat's ass about it. But it does, so we do. Continue to condemn us, if you must, when we don't see the bigger picture that is you. But try to understand that it comes from a not altogether bad place." I love that. And yes, I do try and understand. You know, I actually use an explanation when I'm talking to women who they're kind of blown away how much their guy likes it. In fact, some of them freak out a little bit. And I say, how would you feel if all of a sudden you found a way to have an orgasm roughly 10 times more powerful than anything you'd ever had? Wouldn't you just be, you know, over the moon about it? Wouldn't you be incredibly excited and wanting it all the time? So add to that the more direct approach to sexuality that most men usually have. And yes, I do try and give you guys a break. It's just that I get tired of it. And I'm sure other women who are open about their love of strap-on sex get tired of it as well, especially on some of the websites where there are groups that cater to this particular kink, and there are a lot of guys out there who specifically will go through profiles and look for women who are into strap-on sex and just basically send rude comments about, you know, will you fuck me? So yeah, it gets tiresome, but I get it that the supply is very small, the demand is very big, and the desire is incredibly strong. So thanks for adding that on, because I think it's an important thing for women to remember. We can get pretty pissed off about being approached rudely and incredibly directly too often. So yes, thanks for that. I appreciate you writing back in, and also I appreciate the correction. I'm totally screwed up on that. So if somebody wants to go back through and listen to podcast number 92 again, looking at the correct article, yes, it does sound a little bit less crazy. Sorry about that. Okay, so now I want to talk about the intersection of cheap toys, toxic toys, body-safe toys, marketing, people who have money to spend, private companies, Amazon.com. Last podcast, I did a review of Blush Novelty's Ergo Mini Dildo, and I told you guys how I did a flame test and everything on it. Well, I had mentioned that I was going to review that toy when I came back from the Adult Novelties Manufacturers Expo. And one of the comments that I got on my blog was this one. I'm skeptical of that Blush Novelties Ergo Mini toy. That is not a sex toy company I'd recommend people buy from. Indeed, it does need a flame test. Honestly, I despise the idea of financially supporting a company like Blush Novelties that makes a bunch of cheap, toxic, and porous material toys just because they also make a few that are safe. This is no different than buying one of Doc Johnson's Platinum brand silicone toys, which are reported to be actually silicone. The concept is much the same. They are a dishonest and greedy company and have a terrible reputation of making a lot of toxic and porous material sex toys. The only way they will change their ways completely is to be hit hard financially by their crap sex toys not selling, or thusly go out of business. You know, there's a part of me that totally agrees with you. And then I have to tell you guys about a bunch of things that happened to me that sort of shifted my attitude about this a little bit. And I've been sitting with it for a while because actually it was a class that I went to, a session offered at CatalystCon, which was back in September. Now, the name of the class itself was, the name of it was Material Matters. And without getting into the specifics of it all, there were four people on that panel that had good reason to know an awful lot about sex toys. And the consensus that this session was offering was that there has been a bit of an alarmist approach regarding sex toys. And the word toxic gets thrown around a lot, which it absolutely does. And they had some disagreements with that. They were talking about how the body is quite able to recover from exposure to something. Let's see. Dr. Robert Lawrence was in there, was on the panel, and he was saying how that part of your body sloughs off those cells about once every X number of hours. So to think that, you know, chemicals that getting in there would stay is kind of ridiculous. He was pretty dismissive about it. This man has an awful lot of knowledge. Now, I could go on and give you more details, but basically this is what I came away thinking. This is the part of all of this that resonated with me and that I paused to actually really listen to and take into my own bank of knowledge, if you will. Sex toys can be expensive, okay? They can be really expensive, and there is a market for the cheap ones. The cheap ones may only have a less long life. They may have difficulties with sterilization and things like that. But there will always be people out there that absolutely cannot afford the expensive ones. So their point was there's room for a lesser model. There is room for a cheaper model that isn't totally toxic, of course, but is lesser than. Like, let's say there's no phthalates in it, but it's porous and it can maybe hold bacteria. So you use it with a condom, it has a limited life, and then you throw it away. But you do only pay, you know, $15, $20 for it instead of $50 or $60. So there's going to be people out there that can't afford the really expensive ones. One of the other points that they made in conjunction with this was that the attitudes about toxic sex toys have been so alarmist that people who can't afford the good ones have been scared off from buying any at all. And this was a big objection from everybody on the panel that that wasn't necessary. Now, we lack the adequate studies. Dr. Lawrence gave me a link to a study that said there was no conclusive results that phthalates were toxic and not good and this kind of thing that was done by, I believe it's a British society, and I do apologize for mucking this up and not having the exact link that he gave me and the exact information, but it was so difficult for me to take all this in because I've been so intense about, hey, these things are toxic. You know, they may be toxic. It could be that if you put a toy with phthalates in your vagina, that it will affect your ability to have children. Who knows? Because there are endocrine disruptors. There's all kinds of different things in these chemicals that we don't know about. That's the thing. There's really not enough studies done to show convincingly, in my opinion, that they're not that they are safe. So I don't know. I think what's happening in my head is that absolutely, if you can afford it, you should be buying silicone and you should be spreading the word that that is the best thing to buy. One of the other points that Dr. Lawrence made was that the factories where they are making these toys that have phthalates in them, the protection that they use are latex gloves. So in his mind, that means that the chemicals that are in these toys, that the workers are being protected from those because that's, you know, that's what they wear on their hands to protect them from getting it in their skin. I don't know. I'm not convinced. I'm totally not convinced. But, you know, the people on this panel have been to the manufacturing plants. They have really taken a good look at how sex toys are made. They talk to the people that own the plants. There's all kinds of different things that they have done that I haven't. So it at least caused me to take a step back. I suppose this is one of the reasons that I was open to reviewing the Ergo Mini. And, you know, I checked the prices, and as we all know, if you want the cheapest price on anything, everyone goes to Amazon.com, right? You do absolutely run the risk that you are dealing with a company that makes a knockoff that's not quite the same. But if you can find someone who has bought a huge amount of them and is selling them for cheaper, then that, you know, Amazon.com is a place to do that. So I went there and looked for prices, the cheapest prices I could find. And the Ergo Mini is a dual density dildo. And it sells for, I found it relatively easy on Amazon for $25, okay? And the other ones that I know of that are quality dual density toys, which would be the Tantus O2 line and the Vixen made by Vixen Creations. The lowest price I could find on those for functional dildos as opposed to like a packing dildo were right around the $50 range, $48, $50, $55, right in there. So it's roughly half the price. Now, you know, I give you this example because the people who are going to be shopping for the lowest price ones are going to be looking on Amazon. I mean, obviously, although I tell you guys, sure, you can go get it on Amazon, but if you want to support what I do, you can also click on the links on my blog and buy it through me and help support me spreading the word about pegging all over the place. And there's a certain number of you that do that. In fact, I've gotten some sales recently, and thank you all so much. It really does help. But there's going to be those people that cannot afford the higher prices, and they're going to be looking on Amazon. So the Ergo Mini is half the price of all the other dual densities on there. It's a really nice dildo, and it did pass the flame test. So, yeah, I totally respect what this reader and listener wrote in to tell me, this comment that I just read. And that's exactly where I stood not too long ago. Here's the one difference I see between the company Blush Novelties and Doc Johnson. That I have been able to find on the website, Blush Novelties does not sell any kind of jelly phthalate-filled toys. Okay, they don't sell those at all. They do sell toys that are porous, They do sell toys that can harbor bacteria, which technically those are not toxic, okay? They have a problem with porosity because of the bacteria. The one thing I found that they did sell that I would consider to be toxic are toys made of PVC. That's not anything that I would put inside me, definitely. If you go to Doc Johnson's website, you can find a shitload of jelly toys with phthalates in them. They're still selling the really, really awful stuff that's I consider to be really badly toxic. But even Doc Johnson is finally starting to put non-phthalate on their website. Now, once again, I totally get that you can't trust these guys because they can say anything and it can be any kind of material they want and there are no repercussions. So, I don't know. It's a little bit mixed up here. I mean, if you can afford to, absolutely, take that hard line. Buy the best of the best. That's what I do. Of course, I don't have to buy them because I get toys given to me. But I think you hear what I'm saying. If you find yourself in a situation where you have to buy the lesser toys, then buy the ones that look like they're pretty good ones from companies that are able to make them at a cheaper price. Put condoms over them, use them, and hope for the best. You're certainly taking a risk. On the other hand, it may not be as big of a risk as most of us make out. Hard to say. Maybe I'm going to get like a shipload of comments from everybody about this podcast segment here because I've sort of shifted my position. So I've tried to explain this to the best of my ability in terms of how I feel about it now. But I do think that there's some room for the cheaper toys because there are people out there who really can't afford the more expensive ones. Flame test will probably help you out. Certainly the other clues as well. Odor, things like that. You're taking a risk. Probably if you use a condom with it, it's less of a risk. And all these are kind of maybes, so it's still a little risky. But I think that there is a point to be made that the alarmist nature is scaring away people who would love to have sex toys but simply can't afford them and think that they'll keel over and die if they buy a dildo and put it inside themselves that's toxic. And please feel free to write in and let me know how you think about all this because after CatalystCon, I did find myself taking a deep breath and trying to sort out all of the information that I received when I went to that one session. Okay, and I do believe that would be it for today. We're going to leave it here. So I want to put a plug in for enticeme.com, which is your source for the highest quality non-toxic body safe toys. After all of that talk, this is hysterical. You can trust EnticeMe to offer you only the best sex toys available on the market today. You'll find pegging equipment there, as well as a very wide variety of really excellent toys, condoms, and lubes. Especially that lube that's liquid silk. Ooh, organic and regular. That's awesome stuff for pegging. So what you won't find are the toxic toys offered by other retailers because we care about our customers and we'll never sell you anything but the best. Plus, when you shop at enticeme.com, you support my work in bringing the word about pegging to the world. You can use the coupon code RUBY and get 20% off your order. Plus, any order over $100 ships for free. So if you have any comments or questions about anything I have talked about today, please leave them at 805-500-6544. Or you can write me, ruby@peggingparadise.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, ruby_writer. I have a Facebook page and a profile. And you can subscribe to my blog, which I've been putting some really fun things up recently. You know what? I always say that. So let me just read you something that I put up recently next to a very sexy picture because these are the kind of things that don't show up on my podcast. This is actually something I pulled off the chat that Zach and I had from quite some time ago, and I ran across it and had to post it up because the recurring theme for me here at peggingparadise.com and doing all the stuff I do is kind of the interaction between this whole pegging adventure and the emotional underpinnings of it. The emotional part of it is the part that totally fascinates me. So here's what he wrote. Hot damn, I feel weird talking about my emotions sometimes, but when I read your work, it stirs something in me. I don't think I could settle for anything less than having you enter my ass to expose a part of my soul. I know that sounds super cheesy and kind of way too intense, but that's the connection I feel when I read something you wrote for me. This is a metaphor I never would have fucking thought I'd say, but it's almost as if the key to my emotional side, my raw, sensitive side that needs a healer's touch, the key to that side of me is your cock. And the closer we become, I'm discovering more and more that it's almost as if I keep it all locked up in my ass. You turn the key, and it exposes a part of me that I am just kind of discovering now. So that luscious little tidbit is an example of the stuff I post up on my blog that rarely makes it to my podcast. So, the podcast, as you all know, is on iTunes, and it can be accessed through a number of other podcast engines, so to speak. It can be listened to directly from my blog at peggingparadise.com, but I've been begging you guys not to do that ever since you about crashed the server. So try and find the other podcast engines, which I talked all about on a previous podcast. And I'll go ahead and put a link in the Linkorama for you guys to refer back to that in case you haven't taken that step and found an alternative place to download and listen to my podcast. So thank you for downloading, and thank you for listening, and happy pegging.